Hello and welcome to the program UFO Warning. In this episode, we're looking at the 1897 UFO airships. That's correct, 1897 UFO airships. I want to look at a couple of different cases here. Some of those sightings that happened in the Ozark Mountains and also some that happened in Iowa. Now, this first article comes to us from ExploreSouthernHistory.com, ExploreSouthernHistory.com. The title says, A 19th Century UFO Report? One of the most mysterious incidents in Arkansas history was actually tied to a series of similar reports that appeared around the nation in the years 1897 and 1898. It's got a beautiful picture of the Ozark Mountains. Now it goes on, it says, The alleged incident took place on May 6th in 1897 in the Ouachita Mountains near Hot Springs. As the story goes, Constable John J. Sumter Jr. and Deputy Sheriff John McLemore were investigating reports of cattle rustling near the community of Jesseville when they came across an unexpected sight. The two men were riding northwest over Blue Ouachita Mountain when they saw a bright light in the sky. The light disappeared behind the hilltops, and the men continued their ride. After a ride of a few more miles, they again saw the light. This time it was much closer to the earth and appeared to be descending. It once again disappeared, but after a ride of another half mile, the men's horses suddenly refused to continue. Now, you have to ask yourself, why would these guys want to lie about this? These are two local lawmen. They depended upon having the respect of the people in their community in order to carry out their duties. I just have to think that these guys would have had no benefit by just making the story up. It says, looking into the darkness, the two officers quickly saw the reason why. People could be seen moving around with lights. Drawing their weapons, they approached to investigate, demanding that the mysterious people identify themselves. The two lawmen were startled when a man with a beard approached holding a lantern and announced that he and two companies were traveling the country in an airship. Now, this is something we frequently hear in these stories of these ships landing, human-like creatures, at least, walking around the ship, and oftentimes they approach the onlookers or the witnesses with a lantern, kind of like I suppose a railroad conductor or engineer would do. They needed this lantern to see by, of course. This is 1897. He showed them this unusual craft. They reported it to be cigar-shaped and about 60 feet long. The mysterious man tried to coax them aboard the craft, but they refused to go. When they returned by the same place later in the night, no trace was seen of the airship or its occupants. Now, you know, a lot of us would think this could have been an attempted abduction. For some reason, they had to get these guys to go on board, you know, voluntarily, I guess. Exactly what the men saw remains a mystery to this day. Airplanes and powered blimps had not yet been invented in 1897, yet newspapers across the country were filled with such reports. Some speculate that the late 19th century eyewitnesses saw a spacecraft from another planet and aliens. Others believe in more earthly explanations, either an experimental aircraft that was still being kept secret or an outright hoax. Now, this leaves us with two alternatives. This kind of the same sort of thing being said today. Well, a secret project. As if somebody could have kept something that difficult to build secret. It just seems out of the question to me. And then also saying that this was a hoax. Like I said before, why would these two lawmen have any motivation whatsoever to just make this story up? It would just make them look crazy to a lot of people at that time. It says, it's interesting to note that a resident of the Hot Springs area applied for a patent for a flying machine at about the same time. He did not receive his patent, but obviously was experimenting with some type of aircraft. Whether he actually constructed a flying machine is not known. That's a very deceptive paragraph, and I don't know if the writer did that intentionally or not, but experimenting with something, okay, that implies that you have a physical model that you're experimenting with. And then the next sentence says, whether he constructed a flying machine or not. Well, if he didn't construct a flying machine, then he's not experimenting. He's just daydreaming, okay? Big difference. Whatever the two lawmen saw in Ouachita Mountains that night remains unidentified to this day. No claims of responsibility for the incident have ever surfaced. Not long after the Arkansas incident, a man in Mississippi reported a similar encounter with the quote-unquote airship and described the craft in much the same way. Barring the discovery of more evidence, the 19th century Arkansas UFO sighting must remain one of the mysteries of the Ouachita Mountains for now. Yeah, it's a simple story, and that's what makes me really trust the veracity of this, because these guys weren't trying to get anything out of it. They were just doing their job looking for cattle rustlers, and they come across this, what they described as a cigar-shaped airship, which by 1897 people would have heard of balloons and been familiar with the idea that at someday maybe there would be this propelled airship going through the sky, but nobody had been able to put the technology together yet to build it. I mean, this at that time would have taken a tremendous amount of resources to build one of these things. This is something that was done on a national scale, not like a hobby craft that somebody just built, you know, in their backyard. So they would have had no reason just to make this stuff up. It just seems like it's got such a down to earth ring to it to me. That's why I like that story so much. Here's one from Iowa. This is in the Davenport Library.com. It says, "The mysterious airship of April 1897. Now, this was posted on April 5th, 2024. It says by CSC Blogger, "The mysterious sightings were reported in a Sioux City, Iowa newspaper article on February 3rd, 1897. Something was seen floating in the night sky by local citizens near Hastings, Nebraska. The object was described as lingering about 800 feet off the ground with a bright light that beamed in the darkness. Then it circled around in the sky before disappearing into the horizon as quickly as it had appeared." Once again, there was nothing man-made at that time that could possibly have done that. For the next 3 months, sightings of an airship in the night sky were reported in Nebraska, Kansas, Iowa, Illinois, and Michigan. Residents of Davenport responded to the news with both amusement and fear. Would the mysterious airship visit them? They began to search the night sky for strange lights. So here you have this thing being seen all over the Midwest there in multiple states. According to newspaper accounts, the airship would usually appear in the night sky between 8 and 9 p.m. Some people would note it disappeared from the sky around midnight, while others saw it until almost 5 a.m. Sometimes it left and then returned, while others saw it briefly only once. As sightings became more frequent, news of the object would be telegraphed to surrounding towns to see which direction the object flew throughout the night. The first thing most people noted was a large white light that would shine from the front of the airship, while two smaller lights were seen on the body. At first, people might think they were seeing stars in the sky, but soon realized the unusual movement of the lights were not stars or planets. It was noted that the lights faded in brightness as the objects flew, but became brighter when the objects stopped and hovered over an area. That sounds kind of like what the lawmen down in Arkansas were seeing. It goes on, it says, "The white front light was described as larger than the headlight on a train. There is some discrepancy with one of the colors of the two smaller lights. The majority of accounts mentioned one small light being red in color. The other smaller light was observed to be white by some witnesses, while others thought it might be a light green in color. The two smaller lights were each estimated to be the size of a human head. The shape of the airship was described as an upside-down schooner or cigar shape with a small basket or canoe-shaped object attached. There were two wings or fan-like projections attached to the main body as well." Newspapers reported the airship was about 30 feet in length, according to the witnesses. A modern 90-passenger school bus is about 35 to 40 in comparison. Pretty good size object. Now, they described the one in Arkansas as being around 60 feet. This one is around 30 feet. And I think it's also important to remember, these people, they're going to describe something, you know, based on their own experiences, based on things that they've seen. These guys have never seen, you know, modern aircraft or a lot of the modern things that we've seen. So they're just basing their descriptions on stuff they'd seen, like schooners or maybe even, you know, some of the early steamships. The airship was spotted above rural farms, small towns, and cities alike. This meant on any given night you might have a handful of witnesses to hundreds of people viewing the flying mystery. There were those in the newspaper columns who doubted a mysterious airship was traveling over Midwestern states. The Davenport Democrat poked fun at the stories in early 1897, as most sightings had been in the western part of Iowa, along with Nebraska and Kansas. They joked that sea serpents were falling out of favor, and those who were seeing a flying airship might need to stop their alcohol consumption or seek medical help. On April 8, 1897, the Davenport Democrat reported that the airship had been seen in Belle Plaine, Iowa. Belle Plaine is a little over 100 miles from Davenport and near the larger city of Cedar Rapids. The witness descriptions were of an airship that appeared in the southwest horizon at about 9 p.m., rising and falling in the sky under complete control. It circled the area. As the airship was soon reported in Cedar Rapids and Burlington, the Davenport newspaper reported on the growing fear of the Flying Dutchman, as it was nicknamed. It seemed everyone had an opinion on the flying object. Some thought it was a star that seemed to move in the night sky. Others were certain it was a flying airship. The remaining people thought it was a great hoax, hysteria, or people drinking too much at night. Soon, there were those looking to make copycat airships in the night sky as a prank. They began to fly balloons or kites with lights attached as soon as darkness set in. Most pranksters were eventually found out, as their creations never had the height or size of the mystery airship. The Davenport Democrat reported on April 10, 1897, the flying aircraft was seen in Rock Island, our neighbor across the Mississippi River. It was thought to be about a half a mile off the ground and had a noise similar to an electric motor. The witnesses were Rock Island police officers. The Democrat took full opportunity to poke fun at the situation. The Daily Times reported on April 12, 1897, that a secretary for the Trans-Mississippi Exposition, to be held in Omaha, Nebraska, in 1898, received a letter with an Omaha postmark from A.C. Clinton stating that he was behind the flying airship and wanted a large enough space to display his ship at the exposition. He would arrive at their offices on April 17th to meet the subject. The question seemed to be if the letter was authentic or another airship-inspired prank. You know, here you have, it's bizarre to me how this works. This is 1897. I mean, you would think before the deep state existed, and yet we have almost a campaign of debunking. It seems like an organized campaign of debunking. They get a semi-anonymous letter from some supposed person at Clinton, or some supposed person in Omaha by the name of A.C. Clinton, and all of a sudden we're to believe that this fellow has invented this advanced airship that can just stay up there for hours and hours, projecting these beams of light, tooling around. You get out into Nebraska, western Iowa, Kansas, we're talking about pretty windy areas. So this would have had to have been something that could fly against a sustained west to east wind of 30, 40, 50 mile an hour. Pretty common for a 30 mile an hour wind out there. So this is not the sort of thing I would imagine that was built in 1897. A machine that could do that would have been so valuable that it would have certainly been patented and have been commercially used. The Davenport Democrat reported on April 13th that several hundred people may have witnessed the mysterious flying object over Davenport after 8 p.m. the night before. Reporters said it was hard to see as there was a break in a cloud-filled sky as a thunderstorm was approaching. The light from the front of the ship was described as pure white in color that seemed to flare up and glow as it traveled through the sky. It slowly flew away toward the horizon, then stopped briefly while the light flared again. Then it disappeared into the gathering storm clouds. The newspaper reporter did write that it could not have been a star seen that night, but that it actually might have, what it actually might have been was unknown. The Daily Leader in Davenport asked again if people were drinking alcohol before seeing the flying ship. So they have a mass sighting, but the newspaper is not interested in doing anything but debunking the people that pay to read the newspaper. Reports in rural Scott County, Moline, and Rock Island that night were more detailed. A witness in Scott County said the object appeared to be cigar-shaped. In Moline, it was first spotted after 7 p.m., as in Davenport, the bright front light was the first thing noticed. Some said it had a funnel shape to it. Most agreed it stayed moving in the sky at a rapid pass for about an hour. In Rock Island, passengers getting off arriving passenger trains reported they had watched the object in the sky as they approached the station. The Rock Island Argus did report that clouds blocked some of the view. Most witnesses on the Illinois side of the Mississippi River agreed the object seemed to move quickly, was in the area for about 40 minutes, and the most noticeable thing about the experience was a bright front light. They could still see the light even when the clouds began to gather. What was it? No one was sure, except most agreed it was not a star or a planet. So you have hundreds of people seeing this thing, and they're all saying the same thing. We don't know what it is, but it's not a star or a planet. Then the newspaper picked up a surprising story out of Kalamazoo, Michigan from April 14, 1897. Residents near Pavilion, Michigan reported an airship exploded in the sky in the early hours of April 13th into April 14th, 1897. A couple who reported the incident were tending a sick horse late into the night. They described the bright front light, smaller lights on the sides and propellers. The object moved at a rapid speed when it disappeared. The same time they heard an explosion or thunder. The next morning, a nearby farmer found a large metal coil on his property. Another local resident found a propeller-like piece on his farm. Another resident had been shingling a barn the day before. The next morning, he and two other men returned to finish the job and found the roof covered with small pieces of metal. Sadly, it appeared to be the end of the mysterious ship. Well, we don't know if it was that or if it's just this thing, this UFO, whatever it was, ejecting UFO metamaterial. I mean, look what happened years later in, I think it was around Sioux City, Iowa, where we had the UFO ejected the molten iron onto the ground. I mean, these things happen all over the place. Then the announcement from Waterloo on April 16th, 1897, that the airship had been found in that city. The 42-foot ship was found tucked away on the circus grounds behind the cheese factory, and with it was the builder Professor Jurgensen, along with his logbook of his flying over multiple states. Thousands flocked to see the airship, and the news was reported from coast to coast in newspapers. The great airship mystery was solved. Now, that's just ridiculous. I mean, if this thing was airworthy, this guy would have been flying it all over the place. But here you go, 1897, the same thing we're dealing with today, parallel narratives. It's just so insidious. But some took note that the materials used to build the craft were extremely heavy. Under questioning, the story soon fell apart. This is probably the most elaborate airship hoax created. Several businessmen in town designed and crafted the airship from $60 worth of materials, wrote the logbook, and paid a man named Feathers from another town to be Professor Jurgensen. The stunt made Waterloo briefly famous. You wonder why people are so insecure about the notion of UFOs that they have to go to these kind of lengths to create hoaxes and attempts at debunking. It just shows people are people. I mean, this is 1897, 130 years ago. People are doing some of the same crazy nonsense they're doing today. All eyes returned to the night sky, but with no results. The mysterious flying airship had vanished. A.C. Clinton never appeared for his appointment in Omaha on April 17th to meet with a Trans-Mississippi Exposition Board. And imagine that. Was that letter real or a hoax? Well, pretty clearly a hoax. Had there ever been an airship over the Midwestern states that spring of 1897? Was it a planet, star, or comet? Was there an A.C. Clinton who died when his airship exploded over Pavilion, Michigan? Was it mass hysteria, or as Davenport newspapers like to promote, too many people staying up late drinking? Or was it a UFO that exploded over Michigan or simply returned from wherever it came from? That's not the job of people that witness UFOs to answer all these questions. Our job is simply to document what we see and report it. And pretty much a fairly decent article overall written. But I think almost as interesting as this mass sighting was the way it was treated. You had the media, even then, attempting to debunk it, mocking and ridiculing the hundreds, if not thousands, of people that saw these, this UFO or these UFOs, whatever they were, all over the Midwest. And then you had this core group of jokers trying to claim that it was a hoax, writing letters, building some sort of a really primitive model that couldn't begin to fly, claiming that they'd been flying this thing all over the place. I mean, just borderline stupidity, really. And all this gets mixed in with this original narrative of just common folks seeing these aircraft, these UFOs, flying about the countryside, and about even reliable witnesses like these lawmen down in Arkansas, there in the Ozarks, just reporting what they saw. But that over time, that all gets mixed in with the depersoning that the mass media is trying to do, and the really silly parallel narratives being created by these random people. And you look at the day, the same thing happens. I mean, the Phoenix Lights occurs. Thousands of people see this giant triangle-shaped UFO fly over multiple cities in Arizona. They report it. They talk about it. Supposedly, there's a pretty good video floating around out there somewhere. Some really sketchy stuff surrounding that. We'll have to go back and talk about that again at some point. And then you have all the debunking that happened after it. So you have the people that experience it, the people that see it, and then you have all the people that didn't see it, that have no idea what they're talking about, just creating these parallel narratives and attempting to debunk and deperson the people that actually witnessed the UFOs. It's really wild, but the saying holds true. The more things change, the more they stay the same. Until next time, this is UFO Warning, over and out.